Where are the Girl Scout cookies? They'll be arriving very soon. We're well past the holiday cookie season, but with one coming up soon. And my question for you is, if you, as a child, sold Girl Scout cookies, do you have one really wild or great experience or something that has been memorable years later about selling Girl Scout cookies? We'd love to hear it. 866-893-KPCC. I also wonder if you're a parent of a daughter in Girl Scouts who's going to be selling cookies. Do you support the going door to door? I still have in my neighborhood girls who come door to door, their parents who stand back and let the girls make the pitch to put in the order for the cookies and then later on deliver them. We're at 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. With me is associate editor of the food vertical of the travel magazine Gastro Obscura, Anne Eubank. Anne, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me on.
You wrote this piece, "The First Girl Scout Cookie Was Surprisingly Boring." They're anything but that now, but take us back to what's the origin story of the Girl Scout cookie?
Sure thing. Well, today's Girl Scouts of the USA was founded in 1912 by Juliet Gordon Low, who was inspired by the Boy Scout movement in Great Britain. But Girl Scout cookies have actually been around for almost as long as the Girl Scouts. The first report we have of Girl Scouts baking cookies was actually at a fundraiser in 1917 in Oklahoma. But it wasn't until July in 1922 that a recipe was published in a Girl Scout magazine for these very, very simple sugar cookies. And this recipe is what's accepted as the common ancestor of all of today's Girl Scout cookies.
So the girls, presumably with, it would have been their moms at the time, generally, made the cookies themselves that they sold?
They sure did. And so I do say that they were surprisingly boring, but really they were just very simple cookies that these girls could make inexpensively and in bulk. And this recipe was attributed to a scouting director named Florence E. Neal, and it was distributed first to Girl Scout troops in the Chicago area. And Neal said that these cookies, that you could make 7 dozen cookies in one batch, and all of the ingredients would cost less than 40 cents.
Wow.
And so that's about $6 in today's money.
All right. So this was presumably a hit from early on. When did the different types of cookies start proliferating?
You know, that happened only a couple of years later. So the ancestor of the Thin Mint first appeared in 1939. So that was a decade and a bit later. And back then it was called a cookie mint. And so over the next decades, more and more cookies were added to the roster. Possibly the oldest cookies are what we would know today as like the Thin Mints, the shortbread, and the peanut butter sandwich cookie. Those have been around for quite a long time.
All right.
But there's been tons of discontinued cookies over the years. And as you might know, they keep adding new ones. I do believe that there's a new one that's been introduced this year.
The Lemon Ups, it's actually iced on one side. So that's differentiating it from the Lemonades, which are the lemon wafers, lemon cookies that have been popular over the years. Just to refresh folks' memories, they include the aforementioned Thin Mints, the Samoas, which also known as Caramel Delights, the Lemonades, which very simple lemon cookie, the shortbread that was just mentioned, some kinds called trefoils, the caramel chocolate chip cookie. I think that was introduced last year, wasn't it?
I think so. And I think that one's also gluten-free. And
So
the cookies have often reflected the times in which they're made, which I always thought was very fascinating. But, you know, these days, the Girl Scouts do not make their own cookies anymore. That stopped quite early on. About in the 1930s, troops began looking to commercial bakeries to produce their cookies.
And my understanding is that there are regional differences in the types of cookies that girls have to sell based on which bakery is producing the cookies.
There sure are. So there's two bakeries that produce the cookies. And so the difference is that oftentimes the names can be different from region to region, or even the cookie flavors can be different. The chocolate can be darker, the cookie can be crunchier. So there it's quite interesting to look at what the differences are from state to state and even from county to county.
Let's talk with Maggie in Burbank. Maggie, take us back to your girlhood. And you went door-to-door selling the cookies?
I did, and I was very enthusiastic. I went by myself. My mother had said, you know, just our block and come right back because it was still light. But I kept going, and it got dark. And I came to this one house a few blocks from my home, and this man answered the door, and he said, young lady, you should not be after going door to door after dark. I am going to buy all of your cookies and I want you to go straight home. And to this day, I tear up thinking, what a kind person. He bought all of my cookies because he was concerned about my safety.
That's very sweet. And here you remember it years later. He had no idea. I'm sure he was making that kind of a positive memory for you. Maggie, did you continue in years after that selling the cookies?
I did. I always did. And I always had to sell my own cookies. My mother was a stay-at-home mom. And in those days, I guess, you know, this was 30 years ago, nobody took their kids' cookies, or maybe they did, to work and sold them then. But no, I kept going, yes.
Yeah. Maggie, what to me, I think it's a very positive experience for kids to go door to door to sell something to people, that there's a lot of value in that beyond the fundraising aspect of it. Do you feel that it was valuable for you?
Oh, absolutely. It teaches you self-confidence and to speak up. And, you know, I just feel it's important that a parent accompany a child these days. But I feel it's great.
Maggie, I appreciate it so much. And I am glad to still see some parents who are comfortable with their daughters going out and doing the door-to-door sales. I often see that mom or dad is there, you know, close enough to see what's going on with the daughter at the front door. Totally understandable to make sure that their, you know, safety is assured. But a great opportunity for girls to be able to develop those in-person skills. 866-893-KPECC. So Ann Eubank of Gastro Obscura, what's your fondest memory, if you've got one, of selling cookies?
Sure thing. Well, the aspect I really like about going door-to-door is that you really get to meet members of your community, too. So I grew up in San Jose, California, and down the street from my house, there was an apartment complex owned by our local opera house. And they would always rent out all their apartments to their opera singers. And I always remember pulling up with my wagon full of cookies. And the opera singers loved the cookies. And sometimes, you know, they would tell us about the shows that they had going on. And I've, you know, that's always been a very fond memory of mine.
We're talking with Ann Eubank of Gastro Obscura. It's part of the travel magazine Atlas Obscura. She just wrote the article, "The First Girl Scout Cookie Was Surprisingly Boring. But look what it birthed, a wide range of cookies and fundraising for the Girl Scouts as well." Cookie sales start in about a week and a half, I think. 866-893-KPECC. KPECC, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Anna, in Porter Ranch in the San Fernando Valley, I understand your daughter is a Girl Scout?
Yeah. She's been a Girl Scout since she was 5.
How old is she now?
She's 8.
All right. And so what's her experience been? She's been selling the cookies?
Yeah. So she's used to be super, super shy. Like, I had never heard her say more than a word to anybody. And so the first year we were selling cookies when she was 5, I was like, this isn't going to go well. I said, set your goal at like 10 boxes just so that you can have a goal. And she just lit up. Every time she would go out to sell cookies, she would just say, like, she would come to life. I had never seen her come to life in that way. And so her first year, she sold 300 and something boxes.
Wow.
And she's become a different kid because of selling cookies. And it's amazing. It's been such a great opportunity. And it's one of my favorite parts of Girl Scouts. I thought it would be my least favorite part, being a Girl Scout mom, but it is absolutely one of my favorites.
Were you a Girl Scout yourself, Anna, or is your daughter the first generation?
No, I was a Girl Scout, but I could not sell cookies to save my life. It was back in the days where you had to take orders and then deliver them later. And the boxes cost like $2.85. And doing that math when you're like eight is pretty difficult. But now they're even numbers, so the kids can do the math themselves. Even at five, I had my Girl Scout daisies doing the math for the customers, and it helped them with their math facts. It's so many good things about it.
Now, with your daughter, have you gone with her door to door or set up outside stores, or what was the way you did it?
We do it every way that you can do it. She loves knocking on doors. That's one of her favorite things, is meeting our neighbors, and we know all of our neighbors now. But we also go in front of grocery stores, and we've gone in front of like Lowe's, Joann's Fabrics. We've gone in front of anywhere that will let you sell.
This sounds so ambitious, Anna. Thank you. Really appreciate you sharing that story. We're hearing from those of you that were Girl Scouts and sold cookies. If you have a particularly memorable story, like our first caller with that wonderful story about the man concerned that she was out after dark by herself selling cookies, bought all her cookies and told her to go right home, or other stories that are similar, 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Back in just 1 minute. Tomorrow it's Film Week on 89.3 KPECC, 11 o'clock, and our critics review the third installment in the Bad Boys trilogy starring Will Smith and Martin Lawrence. It's Bad Boys for Life. Also, the adventure comedy Doolittle. Dr. Doolittle is back, and he's Robert Downey Jr. And Troop Zero, a comedy starring Viola Davis. Those and more films, Film Week at 11, here on 89.3 KPECC. Right now, we're whetting your appetite for Girl Scout cookies that go on sale in about a week and a half. We're pleased to have with us Ann Eubank of Gastro Obscura, who wrote the first Girl Scout cookie was surprisingly boring. But boy, did it go from there to a whole range of different cookies. Two bakeries that produce all the Girl Scout cookies across the U.S. and the young sales force that supports their organization by going door to door or elsewhere or mom and dad's workplace to sell the cookies. We're at 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Marjorie, I believe it is, in Santa Monica. You're on Air Talk.
Hi. I was 69. I'm 69 years old now, and I was selling Girl Scout cookies when I was very young, from about 7 to 9. And at that time, they were 50 cents a box, and my mother told me that was expensive, so we got very few sales. The following year, my father made an arrangement. He worked with Westinghouse that we would go door-to-door selling light bulbs, and the big seller was 60-watt light bulb. So we made so much money on that that we were able to rent a bus and take all of the Girl Scouts and their siblings on a bus to a town nearby that was having a circus.
So entrepreneurial. Plus, light bulbs are a lot lighter to carry. They are more breakable than cookies, but a lot lighter to do the deliveries.
Yes.
All right.
It was expensive, the light for light bulb, so it was really a profitable thing.
That's great. Marguerite, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Let's talk with Megan in Long Beach. Megan, what was your experience selling the Girl Scout cookies?
Well, I was doing door-to-door with the Little Red Wagon, and I just loved it so much that when cookie season dried up, I took that wagon with car washing supplies and went door-to-door as an independent sales child. Also, then saw the lemonade stands, and I was like, nope, I need a hot chocolate stand in the winter, and now I sell cars for a living. So it really informed what turned out to be a career in sales with people that I really love. And I enjoy the experience.
Megan, that's great. You said you sell cars now?
I do. I sell cars at which Toyota in Long Beach?
at which Toyota in Long Beach? I'm sorry?
West Coast Toyota in Long Beach.
That's great. I love it. So you found, did you know as a girl when you were selling that you loved it and that this was how you wanted to make your living?
Absolutely. I just like bringing people things that they want or that they're excited to have. Or that they know that they need, i.e. a car wash.
All right. Megan, thank you so much. Yvonne writes on the page, why don't they sell something healthy? Yvonne, they want to make money. It's a fundraiser. Why would you? You're not going to sell door-to-door kale. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. And Astrogoth asked the appropriate question. Girl Scout cookies, addictive? Probably so. Who knows what they put in those? 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. And Eubank, has this been the source of controversy within the Girl Scouts as the nation has become more health conscious?
You know, there's always been adjustments to the cookies over the years. I know that in 2005, they took out the trans fats in them, and there's been low-fat cookies over the years. But, you know, to your point, to fundraise, I think you do have to sell people that something to people that people get excited about, and what's more exciting than cookies?
All right. Let's see. Sophie in Playa Vista, nice to have you with us. What's your memory of selling the cookies?
I actually had a very bad memory and wanted to just bring up the possibility for disparities in Girl Scout cookie selling. That I lived in a bad neighborhood. I had parents who couldn't or didn't have kind of means to sell my cookies at work. And so while some of the kids in my troop had, you know, huge sales, hundreds of boxes, I had like 10, and it made the whole Girl Scout experience horrible for me. And I'm an outgoing extroverted. I can sell things. I just couldn't sell at the volume they were selling it because of the disparities in income and parental employment.
And so in those cases, was it that their parents were essentially selling the cookies for them at work?
Yeah, and with them. I mean, if you live in a bad neighborhood, there's only so much you can do door to door. And even in front of your grocery store. It's just, it wasn't feasible to the degree that it was for other kids.
All right. Sophie, I appreciate your sharing that other side of the story. Thank you. Leon in Burbank. Leon, you were selling Girl Scout cookies?
Yes. So I had two little cousins that were having some issues in their neighborhood. And so I actually ended up taking orders from my friends on campus when I was in college. And we took the orders, brought them back, and we fulfilled the orders. So we had sort of like an extended distribution network. It was really, really sweet because we were able to send them to, I think it was their Jamboree celebration that year, completely paid for it because I helped them reach their limit.
All right. Leon, thanks. Thanks very much. We have Susan in Torrance. Good to have you with us on Air Talk. Susan, you there?
Thank you. My daughter was a senior. She got her gold award, and to earn money to selling these cookies, she had a group of girls that came with her on Fridays to the bank.
Payday.
And so they'd set up their booth out there, and they sold tons of cookies. They were cute young ladies, and it did help with their sales.
All right. That's very smart. You see some of these sales strategies come into play even for young kids. And Dee Dee in Highland Park, I understand you're the cookie chair for your twin girls' cookies selling for Girl Scouts. What's your experience like?
Yeah, Larry, this is my second year being the cookie chair, and that's a job in and of itself.
I can only imagine.
The issue that I have with it, it's a great way for the troop to raise money for the things that they do, but they incentivize the whole thing. Like, we get a big sheet of things that they can win if they sell 200 boxes, 500 boxes, 2,000 boxes, you can go to Six Flags. Or, you know, just the swag that they try to earn with the competitiveness of selling cookies. We try to keep it just within our troop and get the money to go on a camping trip.
All right. Dee Dee, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for sharing sort of the two sides of the cookie selling. We appreciate it very much. And my thanks to Ann Eubank, Associate Editor of Gastro Obscura. From all of us at Air Talk, have a terrific afternoon. Fresh Air with Terry Gross is next. I'm back with you tomorrow morning at 10 for Air Talk and Film Week with our critics at 11.